It's a constitutional crisis. That's the way it is. It's the news, according to me.
Sounded more like Sean Connery.
Welcome to the Rock. We have,
it is Topical Tuesday today here. Topical Tuesday, that's what we're going to call it. Yesterday was Mishmash Monday. Have to tune in tomorrow to find out what Wednesday's going to be. It's, I got a good one for that. It's, yeah. In fact, it's so good. I can't say what it is right now because it's going to be good. I mean, it might be probably the best segment of the week. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. In the meantime, we're going to talk about some things. Welcome to the show. I have just kick back, put your feet up, and listen to the news according to me. Listen to me and my dog. The opinions expressed on this show are mine. I have, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a financial counselor, and I'm also not a geopolitical, apparently I'm not a very good dog trainer. My dog is, I don't know if is he chewing on the back of my chair? What is he doing? I don't know. He's 12 months old, so he's just a puppy. But he's an 88-pound puppy, which is, I'm pretty sure they got some like big ball of energy, just put it in a fur bag, and that's what we've got here. He's a really good boy. He's doing very well. We have, he's settling right down. He's going to be quiet back there, I believe, for now, till the cat shows up. I'm at the home studio. I think the best opportunity looks like for a live broadcast this week is going to be Thursday. I'm going to be getting, I got to do on Wednesday afternoon, which gets me home late in the day. I'm hoping to squeeze a show in on Wednesday morning, but Thursday, so I'll be getting home late Wednesday night. I have a potential for hopefully getting up early enough to go to the worldwide headquarters and work on a show there for Thursday. I'm not going to tell you what the name of Thursday's show is going to be. We got Mishmash Monday, Topical Tuesday, Wednesday yet to be disclosed, and then, of course, Thursdays. And Friday, we'll find out. You'll find out on Friday, I guess. So that's what's going to happen. There is a possibility of doing a live show on Friday. Fridays tend to be a little bit congested for me. I tend to be a little bit more, I don't know, busy. But we'll see how that goes. And of course, next week, every day next week, theoretically, I will be off because that's technically my vacation. So we'll see how that goes. And then, of course, then there's the following weeks and the weeks after that, and then the next week and the week. All right, so we got a few things to get off, get out of here. We got a couple things to talk about. First of all, what's in my cup? I have a chai with my Almond Joy creamer. Yes. I have a backup cup today. Now, the backup cup kind of turned out a little bit wishy-washy. I have it's homemade sweet tea. I just made it this morning. And I think I might have rushed it just a little bit. It doesn't have, of course, part of the problem was I poured it off the top of the, I didn't do it exactly the way I usually do it. I think the rest of the tea is going to be fine, but it was, I had put quite a bit of water and ice, a lot of ice in it, actually, before I poured the hot water over it. Typically, I have about twice as much hot water to steep the tea. And because of that, it tends to melt the ice more, which the way it works out when I go to pour my first cup, it's normal tea. This tea, I happen to have a whole lot of ice in there, probably more ice than normal, and then I had less hot water. I had about half the hot water I usually do. So at steep, I think the steeping was fine. I think the concentration was fine. However, when I poured that hot water into that ice, it didn't melt all the ice. So there was still ice melting. And then when I filled it up with water to, you know, get it to its proper gallon, at least the chai is good. I think the top part was kind of watered down. I should have stirred it again before I poured the cup of tea. But it's a little bit weak. It is cold. However, it's just a little bit weak on the tea flavor. But it's fine. It's good. It's not bad. It's not something I'm going to spew out of my mouth or anything. It's just, it's okay. So I have, what can I do here? I have to restore previous session. That's what I want to do. And of course, it all comes back with the problems that I had before. Probably shouldn't have done that. Oh, well. There it is. There's everything. Boy, listenership is steadily growing up. My baseline listenership is somewhat growing. And depending on the topic, I'm not sure if it's the topic or what it is. I don't know what's going on here, but it tends to go up. Once in a while, I get these larger spikes more occasionally than normal. Looking back on things, now this is back. Of course, it goes back over months. This is back over the last year. That's 90 days. So I guess it's 90 days. Oh, okay. Well, that's fine. Yeah. All right. It's okay. Yeah. I'll live with that. Yeah. And even if nobody listened, I would still be. Even if I just recorded this and put it in a vault, I would still do it. Even if I just got behind a microphone and just started talking without recording it, I'd probably still do it. I find that I have, shows going over. I do a show in my head every day, regardless of whether it's, sometimes I'm driving down the road and all of a sudden I'm doing a show. I hear about a topic, I hear something on the news, and it's like I start making commentary in my head about it, how I would react to that on the show. Which would be fun if I could just do that, like if I had a Neuralink, I could compose the show over the 23 hours that between shows. Post that to my show. Post that thought to my show, and then just have it, pop it out. That would be great. Also, be kind of creepy. I have I have my backup cup here, my sweet tea. It'll be better tomorrow, but it's just at least I have sweet tea. I almost went without. This morning I thought I don't have anything for my backup cup. As I was waking up, that's my first thought. I have no backup cup. Any of you ever had that thought when you wake up? It's because you're not insane like I am. I have a few things to talk about today. Topical Tuesday. So let's get on to the topics. The topics are the SAVE Act, which I don't know if it passed Congress, and of course the left. Everything's a constitutional crisis with them. Whenever Trump is in office, it's a constitutional crisis from morning till night, and then through the night. Everything's a constitutional crisis. It's an existential threat. Everything's an existential threat to our country, our nation, and our world, to our well-being, to everyone, because Trump is in office. And I think Bill Maher, believed that. Bill Maher, here's the thing about Bill Maher that I don't think people are talking about. First of all, the man's an idiot. Okay, this is a guy who has a lot of opinions. He can present them in a funny way, according to him. At least he has an audience that knows how to laugh when they put the laugh sign up. And he has convinced himself that he's so intelligent and so philosophically above everyone else. And then he goes off to meet the very man that he despises and loathes, and comes back saying, that's not the Trump I knew. That's the Trump I thought. He's a totally different person. No, because you've only listened to the narrative. You've only listened to the caricature that they've given you, because you don't really, first of all, you don't really listen to the news. If you really listen to the news, you'd understand. He's been confronted by people like Megyn Kelly and some others that he's had on their show. And they will say things, and he's like, oh, that didn't happen. And it's just, and so, yes, it's on video. This happened. Where have you been? It's like I'm going to knock on the guy's head and say, where have you been? You have no idea. You're on here talking about, well, I'm not into politics. Well, then why are you talking about it? You present yourself as this. Stephen Colbert did this all the time. And so did Jon Stewart. Jon Stewart was the master of this. They had a show that was supposed to be a comedy show. And on that show was Stephen Colbert was supposed to be this fake. Everybody thought he was a right-wing guy. He wasn't. He was portraying a right-wing guy. He had a little character on the show. And then it became his own show, Stephen Colbert Show. Or late night, whatever it is, with Stephen Colbert. And Colbert. And he if he said something wrong or said something about, he would come back with this, well, I'm just a comedian. If you tried to call him on anything. He was a political hack. Now, make no mistake, there's a lot of things being discovered by Doge right now. We're finding out. And it's become very obvious that there has been a lot of money floating around funding things. We'll get into this on my second topic, which is the paid protest thing, the whole Act Blue thing. But this has also been filtered into the news media. And it's not only the news media, it also goes into YouTube. It goes into Google. It goes into all kinds of things. This money that's flowing out there, these billions of dollars that are flashing around. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, we want to talk about this whole SAVE Act thing. The Bill Maher thing, of course, they make this excuse that, oh, I'm just a comedian. I don't know anything about politics. I'm not a politician. I'm not a journalist. No, but you certainly do like to weigh in on everything. You hear this all the time. These people, I heard somebody the other day say, it was a comedian, said something about, well, that's not, you know, Burr. Is it Burr? What's the guy's name? He's a comedian. And he starts scathing these people. I look at the comments underneath this guy's little, I think it was like a short. All these comments were all about how, well, I'm just a comedian. You think you're going to, you know, come to me to get your news? Blah, 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 blah. Who cares what I think about the news? And yet, these people weigh in on all kinds of political topics. Maybe what you do as a profession is a comedian. And I could say, well, I'm just a plumber. I'm just a plumber. Why are you asking me about these things? I'm just a plumber. A plumber who happens to have a podcast that constantly talks about political issues is still, and even if you are a plumber and you don't have a podcast, whatever you got, you could be a dentist, or whatever you are. Well, I'm just a garbage man. Why are you asking me about politics? Because you're a human being and politics involves everybody's lives. That's why. And probably because you have an opinion. And maybe you've expressed an opinion. And therefore, we're interested in your opinion, so we're asking you what your opinion is. And for you to yell and scream and chew somebody out for asking you their opinion, for asking about your opinion, is just kind of a ridiculous statement. It's a ridiculous defense. What it amounts to is you're a coward and you don't want to stand up and say what your opinion is. Now, I've got to hand it to Mr. Maher. He actually went to meet with Trump. And he walked away with a totally different perspective. And what he has not recognized is that he's being bamboozled by the news and what the news portrays him as and how they manipulate everything he says. And that's what he believes. Oh, where's the Trump ad I see on television? I see the Trump on television. He's a monster, but in person, he's a you know, very what? I wouldn't want to sit down and talk to Barack Obama and Joe Biden that way, or Bill Clinton. They wouldn't give me the time of day. Yeah, this is a look. They don't even see, it's right in front of their face, and they don't see what's going on here. And of course, now he's taking a lot of flack for the statements he's made about Trump now, because they, oh, all of a sudden he's going to become a Trump supporter. I don't think so. But he came out and said, there's not a crazy man in the White House. That for the left, that those are fighting words. Those are fighting words. All right. Let's get into it. They have something called the SAVE Act. And it stands for something. S-A-V. Is it, something about election integrity. Stop something of elections. I don't know what it is. I think that's what it is. And I don't know what it means. Let's look it up, because I really want to get this straight. It is the topic, after all. The SAVE Act. Let's just put that in there. SAVE Act 2025. Let's see how it goes here. Not a single Democrat. Well, maybe there were five Democrats. It's pretty much passed on Republicans. I think 100% of the Republicans voted for it. SAVE Act passed the House. See what it is. It doesn't say what it is here. It just says you have to provide proof of citizenship. Now, I noticed this on Facebook and some social media stuff recently. Let's see if I can actually. Yeah, this is weird. Will the SAVE Act prevent married women from registering to vote? This is how ridiculous these things are. Look, I'm trying to find out what SAVE stands for. It's not showing it here. The SAVE Act would disenfranchise millions of citizens. Let's look at congress.gov here. It passed the House. Most likely it will pass the Senate. It might go back into the House with some revisions. We'll see what happens here. Safeguard American Voter Eligibility Act, or SAVE Act. Safeguard American Voter Eligibility. That's what SAVE stands for. Now, it passed the House. H.R. 22 is what it is. I think it was on 410. Yeah, April 10th, it received... was received into the Senate, so it's going through the Senate process now. And there have been two roll call votes, so we'll see how this goes. It's probably going to pass the Senate, I would think. It's a very, when just in general, voter registration, voter ID is what this really is really about. Now, what the left is starting, where they've gone with this is, if you're a married, there has to be the name that's on your birth certificate. You have to take your birth certificate in now to register to vote. And if your name isn't the same on your birth certificate, in other words, if you take in your husband's name, then you can't vote. That's what they're saying. These are the conclusions they've drawn out of this bill. That is not the case at all. In fact, I'm going to go back here. There's one. This is from Congress. Will SAVE Act prevent married women? This is factcheck.org. Let's see what they have to say. Is it true that under the SAVE Act, married women will not be able to register to vote if their married name doesn't match their birth certificate? The proposed SAVE Act instructs states to establish a process for people whose legal name doesn't match their birth certificate to provide additional documents. But voting rights advocates say that married women and others who have changed their names may face difficulty when registering because of the ambiguity in the bill. Over what documents may be accepted. Now, here's the deal. It's according to states. You see, we don't have one national election. We have 50 elections. The Fed cannot demand or regulate necessarily how the states handle match meeting the law. This becomes a very complicated process when it comes to voter registration, voting laws. And what it amounts to is it will be as simple as showing a marriage certificate, showing whatever it is. Now, my guess is most states will have what's called a grandfather clause. If you're already registered to vote, you'll be registered to vote. Registrations will not change. It's not going to be a new, it's going to be ongoing registrations. This is a small hurdle to jump through, considering how, you know, most people are, oh, well, just if you're born here, you have a right to vote. Okay, yeah. The reason we have a right to vote is because certain people have laid down their lives, gone through a whole lot of things to keep our freedoms so we can vote, and you're concerned about having a document to prove that you're a citizen here.
Well, you're disenfranchising people who can't afford to get an ID. You can get an ID, and here's the problem. The Democrats caused this problem. Because in many states, you can get a driver's license or a state-issued ID without being a U.S. citizen. This is the problem. If they just stopped it right there, no, you can't have a U.S. ID. You can't have an ID that normally only citizens have. Because that's what they use to check your ID to vote when you vote. That's what Indiana does right now.
So it will go beyond the voter ID. It will be a little bit further beyond what most voter ID states have. So without digging into it all the way, the SAFE Act previously passed of the House of Representatives, so what is this? Applicants may also present other government-issued IDs. If you have a passport, anything you have, a birth certificate or a record of birth, certificate of birth, adoption records, a counselor birth, naturalized citizen or whatever you got. So it's just, there's all kinds of ways of doing this. And most people should have, the people who don't have them, see, this is the whole issue is to weed out the people who are voting that shouldn't be voting. Why would they care? They're telling us, well, it's illegal for somebody. It's not lawful in any state for anyone to vote in a national. Now it's legal in some states to vote for local. You don't have to be a U.S. citizen. You can be a foreign national and come over here and vote in some of the local elections that we have in the country. Some states allow that. You can vote in local elections, state and local elections. Can't vote in the national election. Of course, when you walk into the voter booth, it's the same ballot. And all they do is say, you know, you're not allowed to vote for here. You're not allowed to vote for the president. You can only vote for this.
Oh, okay. So you walk in there. Nobody's watching. You just vote. However you want.
It all goes into the same bin.
There's no evidence.
Well, no, it's because you guys cover it up. Because you make it so that there can't be any evidence. And when we do have something like Doge going out there and finding the evidence, well, now we've got a problem. All these people who have social security numbers now that weren't supposed to have them. Just handing them out like candy. Another way that you can identify yourself. It was all part of their plan. All the while screaming, there's nothing to see here. So, that's the SAVE Act. In fact, my wife saw it as well. She said, what's this thing about, you know, marriage certificates and all this stuff?
Yeah, that's what it's about. It's this whole thing about how the left went nuts.
This came across, I think it was via Politico? Somebody put this out there right away as soon as the act came out. Oh, they're going to try to do this. They always jump to these conclusions. Oh, this is how they're going to do it. This is a dictatorship. Now, once this is passed over, glossed over, and we find out that it was all nothing, they will already be moved on to the next thing, and nobody will care about the fact that they had it all wrong. This is one of the things that bother me the most. There's never any retraction. There's never, and if they do a retraction, it's buried on some page 3 type thing. They never come out and say, we're so sorry. We want to make sure that our integrity is here. No, they're already on to the next thing. President Trump combs his hair to the left now instead of to the right. Whatever it is. He should be impeached for that. This is defrauding the nation.
Yeah, that tea's okay. It's okay. It'll be all right. Maybe it's not quite sweet enough. It just needs more sugar. That's with a lot of things in life, it just needs more sugar. It just needs to be a little sweeter.
I didn't get over it. Yeah. So we have my morning's been going kind of well. Let's just say that. Yeah. Let's just say it's much better now. So I have. I'm going to go ahead and get rid of this. What else was this? What's this other thing I have right here? What's that? Oh, yeah, that's about the Elon Musk. His happened to I believe it's he's the person who's paid the most any one time. Any one-time purchase of any kind of, I'm sorry, one-time taxpayer, highest tax paying, whatever. Where's Scarborough? Where is that at? Oh, some L, Maine. Yeah, I don't think, yeah, so looking at cars here. Just got all these cars I'm looking at. Not sure what we're going to do. There we go. Back to the stage. Here we go. So that's the SAVE Act. These, whatever I said that was. And I think that there's that's all this stuff that's going around about now. We'll see what happens in the Senate. Keep track of that. We'll go from there. Topic number two. Number two. My sweet tea. It's okay. Topic number three. We have this whole thing about paid protesters recently. Now, I think I recorded something on this. I probably should go ahead and play this for you because it's going to be kind of a little bit messy because of the way I had recorded it on my phone. And what is this? We'll just do that. There we go. What's going on here? I'm sorry, folks. The technical difficulties. Let's talk to my engineer about this. I want to link this up with my Bluetooth, but it's not. I'm just going to go the old-fashioned way. Go to the settings, find it on here, click on it, get ourselves hooked up here, hooked up, as they say. All right, we're ready to play. We have. Try to play this without it being, so I can find the right spot. All right, let's try this. Okay. All right, here we are. We have this is a short that was on YouTube. It was on One American News, and this guy is interviewing. I don't get what this guy's name is. He has a business. His business is he provides protesters. They organize protesters and they provide. Now, how's this guy funding this thing? That's what's the question. How are they finding the money to pay these people? They're paying protesters to show up. And in many cases, these protesters have no idea why they're even there. Now, the argument that this guy presents as to why it's okay for him to do this and why it's this is just anything. This is just like you being paid to your broadcast. No, it's not. And this guy makes the point perfectly as he responds. It's this guy, I can't remember what this guy's name is. He's on One American News, and he challenges this guy almost so clichély that it almost looks like a setup. But this guy's literally he's sitting there with a smug little look on his face, which is what they do because they know they have all this money sloshing around. Now they're worried about this. One of the things that DOGE did, and of course with Act Blue, one of the things that happened here was that the Act Blue is a non-government organization, but all their funding comes from the government. It all comes from USAID. It comes from different other agencies and organizations. Act Blue is the organization that was providing donations to a lot of campaigns that people could donate through. And strangely enough, a lot of these people donating were made up. They were just
doing some weird stuff with people's donation, well, fake donations. So someone would come in with $1 billion and they divide that money up and they chop it up and put little, attach little names to it and create these people who are donating to someone's campaign. So they can't just dump $1 billion into somebody's campaign or $1 million. So they have to take this $1 million and divide it up. They get $1 billion and they have to divide it up with all the different candidates. So they divide it up with millions of between, you know, each one. So you have $100 million that you want to have 100 different candidates. You want to give them each $1 million. So you divide it up and say that the maximum amount they can give is $1,200. So to do the math on that, that's how many candidates, that's how many donators they will need. Now, of course, they can't make them all exactly $1,200. That will look suspicious. As if they care. So they end up dividing this all up, attaching these little names to it and making these little donations on their behalf. And they use these transfers with credit cards. And this guy, the way they do this stuff is really shady. They don't even have to have the little CCV number, I think it's called on the back of CVV or CCC, whatever it is. Your little security number on the back of your credit card, you know, your 775 or whatever it is back there on the backside. They always ask you for that over the phone when you online, when you go to type in something about your credit card and you try to purchase something online, you got to type that little thing in. How that makes it more secure than just putting the numbers in the front, I don't know. What's going on here? All of a sudden, because bank never calls and says, you need to change that number because it's been compromised. And my credit card's fine, but the number, what is that number all about? How does that make it more secure? Just because why can't they just tag that on the end of my regular number? Because it's, whenever there's a breach, they give me a whole new number anyway with a new CCV. I don't know what's going on there. So we have any bankers out there can inform me, because I'm not one. By the way, that's on the list of many things I'm not. My chai's getting cold. So I have this little video to play. And it's interesting how this guy provides, he has a business where he provides protesters to these organizations that are out there doing protests. Because he pays them. And they show up with the pre-printed signs. They're handed a sign. They're told what to chant, how to chant. You know, they have little cue cards with what to say. When this person says this, say that. So let's see how this pans out here. Let's play this and see what this guy says.
I sleep at night. I would not do your job. I do not like it. So people can literally call your company and get a bunch of paid actors, if you will, to stand up there, hold signs, and scream on the street corner, because that's what your company does.
Number one, it's not actors. We're providing activists who are truly engaged with the cause, right?
But are they? I just showed you a video of a guy going, I don't even know why I'm here. They got signs and they got sheets and they said, go say this and talk to cameras and hold signs.
It's challenging for them to get sufficient turnout to a lot of these events, compensating people, just like Dan, you're compensated for hosting your program. These are your real views on this program, but you're compensated.
But I don't pay my viewers to watch
exactly.
me. Exactly. So I love the fact that I can go on the street corner and say whatever the hell I want, a grievance against my government, or call my neighbor, or whatever I want, because that's America. But I don't like that companies try to stage it all and hire people and set it up. It should be organic. The American people should want to come out, get on their soapbox, my show, I'm talking. They should come out and want to gather together and say, here's the cause I'm sticking up for. But you see, guys like you and the bureaucrats and the folks in D.C. love stirring up the pot between us Americans. And so you pay people to do this and you make a scene look bigger than it really is. You make an issue bigger than it truly is. And so I don't like your business. I'm going to end it there, but I appreciate you coming back on.
So I totally agree with this. This is the problem with this whole thing, is that they make it look like they're having mass protests all over the country and people are enraged, and we should all be enraged because, you know, it's the rage. It's the thing. We should all be there. We should all be doing this because it's the in thing to do, is to be enraged and to be protesting this whole thing. So it's the crowd, the hive mind type thinking thing, the group think that they aim for, and they get away with it all the time. It's all about political theater. It's all about the optics. It's all, like I've said for time and eternity, it's all about how they want you to perceive the issue, because they want you to think that you're not alone out there thinking that things are bad. Yeah. And they play on your sense of fake, phony justice. Folks, let me just talk about people in general. Let's just have a moment just between me and you right now. People, first of all, are selfish. We are selfish creatures. Very selfish. It's one of our, probably the root core of our problems. You can all be, you know, Adam and Eve had a problem. At the end of the day, they became selfish. And they made some decisions based on that selfishness. This happens every day with every human being. I don't care who sainted you. I don't care if you're Mother Teresa. She's a selfish person. Now, people would probably scream at me for saying that, but I know that she probably, hopefully, is self-aware enough to know where she is selfish and how selfish she really is. Maybe she doesn't know. But folks, if you go on a journey of self-awareness, self-discovery, and you actually are honest with yourself through that process, you will realize, no matter how generous you think you are, if you're absolutely honest with yourself and you spend more than 5 minutes with a little introspect, you will discover your selfishness. And it is at the core of man's basic problem, man and women, mankind, humankind. So having said that, we play in on this whole thing. So when it comes to this sense of virtue and sense of justice, you want to be the hero. You want to ignore, you want to bury this idea that you are a selfish person, that you, you know, all of your bad qualities. Fill in the blank. People want to rise above that and pretend, well, I'm not like that. I'm not that way. Look at me. I'm out here in the street and I'm shaking my fist in the air. I'm not a whatever, fill in the blank, racist, homophobe, whatever you want. And they play on that. They play on that desire for people to go that route, to join with the crowd and fight against the evil. It, all the while, this is like having a blue-haired, and I've just seen this just a couple days ago, this lady who was on the left screaming at someone who was, I can't remember what the topic was. It was a different topic. It wasn't about abortion. And she's screaming at this person, it might have been Josh Hawley, was getting screamed at about being a baby killer. He's a baby killer. And it had some, I don't know what it had, it might have been something to do with Gaza, it might have been something else, I don't know what it was. He's a baby killer. You're killing children. This coming from someone who probably a couple weeks ago was in a crowd screaming about abortion and how it's a woman's right to choose. They don't see that child in that womb as a baby. That's not a baby killer. That's just a fetus killer. It's not really a life. It's just part of that woman's body until the cord gets cut. How we've gotten here as a society is beyond me. I don't understand. I probably never will on this earth. But it's deplorable. The hypocrisy, the double standards, and yet this person, a normal person who just wants to get through life and be a blessing to others around them as much as possible, to help others along the way, hopefully. They just want to do that. I have no compulsion to get in someone's face and yell at them. As if to say my life. Now, if there's injustice, if there's truly injustice in the world, I could probably be stirred up enough to yell at somebody. But this idea that somehow elevates me, makes me feel better about fighting back, that's where it gets dangerous. It's one thing to get out there and speak the truth, to speak it with passion. It's a whole other thing to take it on as a part of your persona, as if you have risen above and you're not included with this thing called humanity that is depraved. It's called self-righteousness. And unfortunately, the righteousness that the left is presenting is a phony righteousness. It's not true righteousness. It goes against everything in Scripture that would be considered righteous. But humankind has this desire to fulfill themselves with some kind of virtue, some kind of righteousness, because they don't want to admit that they need a Savior, that someone's blood needs to be shed for their depravity. Because after all, their poop doesn't stink. They're going to show the whole world by waving their poop around. Smell my poop, it doesn't stink. Kind of graphic, I guess. But the monkeys do it. They throw their poop. I have, that went down the tubes real fast. There, didn't it? It's, yeah. My friends will understand. We have so this thing called the SAVE Act. Paid protester thing. It delves into so many places. And what has happened? Here's an example: Jasmine Crockett, who is the current rising star, I guess you might say. All these people who do this. They all find themselves under some kind of investigation, and you come to find out there's all kinds of fraud going on. Now, to Jasmine Crockett's credit, whatever. Oh, there's a little puppy here that wants to stick his nose in my face. I guess he wants to go back right there. Lay down. I'll go back here. Lay down. There you go. She may not know about what's going on with her campaign. She may not understand the fraud that's going on there. But here's what's happening. They have these credit cards. They're taking money. So people are donating funds. And apparently somebody outside of her district donated like $16,000 to her campaign or PAC or whatever it was. I don't know. I think it was over time. It's a total of $16,000. I don't know if it was for different campaigns or whatever it was, but the total was $16,000. Now, what they're finding is these people don't know anything about Jasmine Crockett. And somehow they donated all this money. Didn't come out of their account, but it's under their name. How does this happen? Well, this, like I said, they're stealing their name and their address and just basically saying this person donated this much money. Many of the people are outside of her district. Somebody felt so passionately concerned about her winning her election that they donated $16,000. That's quite a chunk. For somebody outside your district. Now, so this is the problem with this kind of stuff is that these donations are coming through. Where does money actually come from? Where are they laundering this money from? This is money laundering is what it is. Now, whether Jasmine knew it or not is a whole other story. She may not know it. She may not have heard about it. If I was in office and I found out that somehow campaign funds came in because of fraudulent activity, I would feel absolutely devastated from that. Now, she is one who is running around wearing designer clothing. Every day she's got a different designer outfit on. And it's always something very over the top. Always this something puffy, whatever is going on. She's just kind of some kind of designer outfit. Of course, she's always got the hair and the nails and all this. She's all done up like she's a model walking around Congress. Because that's her thing. She wants to be the superstar. And unfortunately, that's what she tries to become. And it's all about this popularity contest they got going on up there in Congress right now. Well, come to find out, she probably would not have been voted in were it not for all this money that came through. And the money, you know, the investigation's going pretty deep into who knew what and what they knew it, when they knew it. So it'll be, and it's believe it or not, it's not the Republicans that are going after her. There's actually people that are campaigning against her in her party that are going against her. They're trying to find out what's happening. So, interestingly enough, that's what's happening. So it's, we'll see. We'll see what happens here with the entire process. And there are several others. Letitia James, the one who was in charge of the whole prosecution of the, she's the state attorney general, I think, for State of New York or City of New York? I thought it was State Attorney General. She ran on the whole premise of going after Donald Trump and going out. She had no evidence. She had no nothing. She was just going to go after Donald Trump and try to bankrupt him. There's some other politicians out there who also were doing the same thing. Of course, come to find out, Letitia James was one. Fani Willis was another one down in Atlanta. Was another one. All kinds of fraud things going on behind the scenes. Money laundering, paying, you know, her boyfriend, who she still is involved with, by the way. She's been caught on some trips with that guy again. Man who was married at the time, and she was running around all over the world with him. Just different things like that that we continue to find out. There was a mayor, I believe it was, like a super mayor, supposedly. She's had to step down. There's another mayor someplace else that had all kinds. Oh, no, it was a chief of police. I think it was chief of police somewhere. So I just had to step down. Just different things like this happen constantly where the light gets shown on them for just like 5 minutes and all of a sudden it's, oh, look at this person. I look at all the crap. Pride comes before the fall. That's all I got to say today. Those are the topics. Three topics. The SAVE Act. My chai. And my sweet tea. Of course, it's all kind of combined. And the paid protesters from ACT Blue. Now, strangely enough, as soon as Doge started, by the way, as soon as the election was over, one of the reasons that things started shutting down, just another key point here, right after the election, right after Donald Trump won, many, many people resigned from ActBlue. People from a lot of these organizations, the heads of these organizations, they took off. I'm out of here. Now, when the Doge thing came about and they started saying, we're going to go, we're in the Department of Government Efficiency, start looking into where the money's going. Again, same thing. People started resigning, leaving, cutting out. Because they knew heads were going to roll. They didn't want to be part of it. When the funding started getting cut off and started getting frozen, a lot of these organizations started collapsing. ActBlue, for example, supposedly is collapsing. A lot of people left ActBlue as soon as they lost the election. A lot of news organizations all of a sudden started losing their viewership. It was like half what it was, less than half in some cases. Their numbers started tanking. Mostly because the whole thing that we were told all during the election season was fake. Everybody in the country saw Donald Trump won by a landslide. Popular vote. Electrical vote, electronic vote, electoral vote. The whole thing. Won all that. And it's in the process of that, people started realizing, hey, I think we've been duped. We've been had. Now, at the same time, the money was cut off. The funding was cut off. All of a sudden, they were out on the street. Uh-oh, we're not going to have any money anymore. So this, all this money that was flowing in is not going to be here anymore, and we better probably, maybe we should do something else. Started running like rats off a ship. So that's what I'm here to say is that the onion continues to be peeled. And it's just fun to watch sometimes. But don't cry. It's just an onion. Yeah. Anyway, thanks for listening today, folks, to Topical Tuesday. Tomorrow will be Wednesday, and I'll tell you what that's going to be, because we'll have some special audio for you tomorrow, because the topic of the type of topic that we're going to cover tomorrow, part of the Wednesday, you'll have to find out what it is. Stick around. We'll be back tomorrow. Folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for paying attention to the news. According to me, the advertisement-free zone. We have no sponsor yet. Yet no sponsor. Probably never will. God bless, folks. Have a great rest of your week.